Hey, everybody, it's me here, Michael Franti, on the Stay Human podcast. Man, we are super excited because we've got a new album that is coming out. It's called Work Hard and Be Nice. 17 songs, that's right, you heard it, 17 songs filled with optimism and stories about how we get through challenging times and still hold on to our humanity. We can't wait to get back out on the road with you guys, so stay tuned to all of my socials. You'll get the information first about when we're going to be touring next. In the meantime, enjoy all the songs on the album, Work Hard, Be Nice. You can Spotify it. You can stream it all over the place. You can download it on iTunes. You can even get the CD from michaelfranti.com. So check it out. World Music Fest with our special guest, very special guest, Phyllis Blanchett from Pamua. And man, it's great to have you here because when I met you, it was like 50 degrees below zero in Alaska, which is where you're from, right?
Yep, Anchorage. Live in Anchorage. Originally from Bethel, though.
Okay. So your whole family is from there originally?
I got a mom and dad.
Yeah.
So they both have their own backgrounds. My dad's from Philly.
Uh-huh.
And and that's where he grew up, and he was in Vietnam and moved when he was in the service after his term. He went out to Alaska.
Yep.
As a punishment because he wanted to get out, and they were like, "We're going to send you to the
coldest,
worst place
worst
in the world.
Place
you're going
to
you're going to wish you were going back to Nam and like all this stuff."
Wow.
And they're like, "We're sending you to Alaska."
Wow.
And they were trying to be really, you know, aggressive and in threat, you know, being threatened. But he was like biting his lip because he always wanted to go to Alaska because my grandfather was in the Navy and he was in Attu during World War II.
Yeah.
And so he was in Attu and he has all these old stories of him in Alaska.
Wow.
And my grandfather was a really great storyteller.
Okay.
And so my dad had all these stories of Alaska, and now he was being sent there as punishment, and he loved it. And he met my mom, and my mom was a Yupik lady from Bethel. It's a small town called Mamtaritlik in our Yupik language. And she was going to university studying. They were just having a Yupik language program. Alaska Native Language Program at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. And actually, it was the first organized department that was creating curriculum and for all the different different indigenous languages from Alaska.
Uh-huh.
And my mom was interested in the language, and so she became a student. And
so was she brought up speaking Yupik?
She was born speaking Yupik.
Okay.
And Bethel, where I'm from, is a hub community of 56 villages that are all Yupik-speaking villages.
Is it all the same language, or is it different dialects, or is it all different languages of those?
We have this different dialects. So we have Yupik, there's and then there's some languages that are Siberian Yupik that have a larger difference.
Yeah.
But then we're also related to the Inupiaq, which we're all a part of the Inuit language family. So
okay.
In Greenland, there's Kalaallit,
Nunaat,
and then Inuktitut. They speak Inuktitut in Canada, and there's all these different languages, but they're all a part of the Inuit language family.
Yeah.
And so Yupik.
And how similar are they? Like, could you understand somebody from Greenland?
There's, my mom is a linguist.
Yeah.
And so when she goes to Greenland, in Greenland, they're an autonomous country. Like, they run their own country.
Yeah.
The official language is the Inuit language. And so they have several newspapers in the language. They even have publishing companies where they'll publish, like, Harry Potter in Greenlandic Inuit. And it's really cool to see from our perspective how... But she can read the newspaper and just with the root words
understand
what's happening. But it's, you know, when you hear another language, it takes a while to really... you know, to understand it.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of similarities. Our group, Bamiwa,
it's
an Inuit word, and it comes from the Inuit word Bamiwak.
Mm-hmm.
And Bamiwak means its tail. So the tail end. So the tail end of a animal, the tail end of a kayak, which is a kayak. Mm-hmm. We call it a kayak. And there's a tail end. And then in our dancing, which you did, by the way, this guy's a dope, you big dancer. When he was in Alaska, he's got some serious moves. Dancing has a chorus that you repeats, and then there's a verse that tells the story further. You do repeat the chorus, and you go do another verse, a second verse, and then you do the chorus again. And at the end is the bamyok. It's the tail.
Okay.
And so it refers to that. And so that's an example of the like a word that is spans throughout the whole...
Throughout all the
Inuit
languages.
When we go to Greenland, for example, or Canada, or even Siberia, parts of Siberia, they'll say, what's your name? We're bamyok.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh yeah,
they know.
And you know, it's so cool. And so a lot of like the old words like teeth, you know, things that have been around forever.
Yeah.
In our language it's kutik. In Greenland it's kiuti. And we say nuyat, they say nuyai. And we say ik, they say isai.
Yeah. So it's all very similar roots.
Weather, consciousness, and awareness. We have one word for that, all of those things. We say sla, samyoa.
Mm-hmm.
They say sila. And there's like these really...
Similar roots.
It's amazing to connect with
Let's
that.
Let's talk about your music, because, I mean, that's what you guys are here for with Bamyoa. And did you grow up in a musical experience? Like, was there always music in your family playing all the time or in your culture or...
There definitely was. We have a tradition of Russian Orthodox. The church came in to Alaska, years ago, and so there's a really great tradition that we grew up in. Slavic, it's a Russian Christmas,
wow.
And it was really, really cool because it's a week long, and there's a feasting in the villages, and you just go from house to house. And they feed you, and then you sing all these songs. And we would songs would be sung in Yupik Russian, which was like it wasn't really Russian. It was supposed to be Russian and English. And so we would grow up hearing these songs. And it kind of once I got older and started learning and listening to different kind of world music and roots music, I would listen to like Ladysmith Black Mambazo, and I was like, oh, that sounds just like the same harmony and the blend of these hymns with a cultural hymn. So we had a lot of influences. And then my dad, he became an ordained minister in a church, black church. So we grew up going to a black church and going a lot of gospel and and that kind of stuff. And there's
so
a lot of folk
all
music.
Rub into what you do.
Yeah, all these different things. Yeah. And since my brother and I, we were raised in a Yupik community, but we're black, you know. We're also Blanchettes. My dad would always say, you're Blanchette. Yeah. You don't forget you're a Blanchette.
And,
your family's, you'll always be there for you.
Yeah.
And
tell me about the community you were raised in. What was that? It was like a rural, very small.
It's dirt roads. We grew up with no running water and honey buckets. And it was wonderful. It was a beautiful. we were raised in every summer.
Sounds like the California World Fest.
Exactly. We grew up going to one of the biggest rewards of my childhood and just I'm so happy that I was able to experience that was being raised in fish camp. And so our entire family and my grandmother and her two siblings, all of their kids and their kids were me, my generation, we all would go to the same fish camp for the entire summer and just be there, and the adults, we'd all harvest fish all summer long
to be used throughout the rest of the year.
Yeah, you dry the fish and then you make as much so you have enough, and then you can enough so you can share as well. And so for us as kids, it was like a kid's paradise. Summertime, you know, 24-hour sunlight.
Yeah,
we would no rules. We can just roam around and go boating, go swimming. As soon as the water melted, and if it was a sunny day in June. Beginning school, soon school's out, us crazy kids would be in the water, in the river, the Kuskokwim River. And
did you have any frame of reference as to what was happening, like, for a kid growing up in San Francisco, where I live, was that, like, TV world and video games and all that kind of thing?
We had the modern influences from a community standpoint, but then we were lucky enough to have experience other, you know, to travel.
Yeah.
And we lived in Seattle in the early 80s when, you know, underground hip hop was just on the radio. And we're like, my brother and I would just like religiously, you know, have our hand on record and pause and bringing back all of this incredible music that was like an extension of who we were. Like, you know, we were raised in Yupik country, you know, with these afros and like, you know, like very different, but we were, but we would identify through music in our black music. And so, so anyways, we did spend time in living in and experiencing some urban culture and it really helped influence us.
Was there ever a struggle for you in that? Did you ever feel like, man, I wish I could live in Seattle or it's so much better to be out here on the fishing village? Was there ever like a conflict for you in
me personally,
being a teenager especially?
Not so much because we have Anchorage and I live in Anchorage now. And so Anchorage is like the big, our big city and it has all the, you know, amenities that, that, you know, that's our Hollywood, you know, that's our, that's our Big Apple. And so coming from such a small town and some of these experiences and, you know, I'm really, I love living in Anchorage. It's really comfortable. And, but coming from Alaska, we do a lot of traveling,
you know,
and we, everybody in Alaska, we go to Hawaii. Yeah, you got to go to Hawaii. You got to and we travel a lot, and so we get to experience that and soak it all in, and then go home. And that's the best thing is going home.
What's your musical message with Pamela?
We
what is your mission, I should say.
I would say that it's all about it's many things, of course, but like. We started off singing traditional Yupik dance songs.
Mm-hmm.
And to be a caretaker and be a culture bearer and carrying on these songs. And even though we reinterpret them and do them in new, different ways and do it, and we make it our own, you know, and we don't even know what we're going to do. When we're just like, you know, we don't really plan it. We just feel it. But we, with that feeling, we have to carry that intention of honor and respect and that message of carrying on that, those stories, and they're not. Anyways, there's so much within that. There's so much rich lessons and things within the tradition. So it's about honoring the our ancient traditions and doing it in the moment and owning it and making it a part of your identity and sharing that with other people, and that it's then we can have a shared identity through something that is so special as something that's been happening for thousands of years.
Hey everybody, it's Michael Franti here on the Stay Human podcast. A few years back, my wife Sarah and I decided that we would start a nonprofit with the intention of bringing people with advanced stages of life-threatening illness, children and adults with special needs, and wounded veterans to see any live concert by any artist in any city in the world. And from that, Do It For The Love was born. If you have a friend or family member who needs music in that way, just write to us at doitfortholove.org and we'll make sure to get them out to see any concert in any city by any artist. Do it for the love, y'all.
Here's.
Yeah. I want you guys to think of some questions. I'm going to ask you one more question while they're thinking about it. But I know that life can be hard for young people on quote unquote, you know, reservations. And I know that there's a lot of, you know, depression, suicide. There's a lot of issues for young people, for Native Alaskans. And how does what you do and your experiences and your music, you know, what do you try to do in relation to that experience for young people today?
Well, we just, like I said, we try to bring honor and like make sure that we're sharing that level of respect, and it's infectious, or like it just spreads, and those are the lessons that we're taught from our elders.
Yeah,
and so we're just carrying on and letting, you know, we want to be an example and be someone encouraging the kids, you know, to see the beauty in the hope and like the vast possibilities from their identity and what they can do, that, you know, and it's just wonderful to see that happen through art, through music, through culture,
yeah,
through connection, and it happens. And it's not perfect. I mean, it's each person's going to have their own journey.
Yeah.
But you can influence and you can be, you know, help out a little bit, and I feel like that's a gift that we were given from our community, mm-hmm. for our elders and but there are a lot of really deep struggles of identity and self-worth,
yeah.
and roles of where you fit in, and our roles of leadership within the men in the community and the women and struggling with expectations that we're supposed to have, mm-hmm. to be able to compete in society now. It's so overwhelming, and it's contradictory in the village to how we see things.
Right.
And it really becomes very daunting. And but you know, life is amazing, and just keeping that, you know, kind of this prayerful
eyes
hopeful,
on the prize, look,
yeah,
to the,
yeah,
future,
just, yeah, positive, yeah, stay human.
It must feel, how do you feel about being able to take this, you know, traditional music and share it with new audiences beyond where you're from?
We're like communicators in a way to non-native people, showing a little bit of our culture and identity. And so it's a beautiful process to be able to share with the people and like invite people to to be, you know, learn about what we're doing, learn about where we're from. And I don't know, I'm not sure how to, you know, but we do that, and by doing that, just kind of subliminally and just on the peripheral, our people back home, they're proud. And so just to know that we're representing and we're sharing a positive message with non-native people, because a lot of our struggles are identity and self-worth, because outside of our communities, we're hearing these messages or interpreting these messages that we're not good enough, we don't matter, we're not beautiful, we're not smart, we're all, you know, yeah. And even though we know it, that's not true, that's what we're hearing and feeling. And so when we started our group, you know, 23 years ago, and non-native people were so excited about, Pamyoa, or like, you know, like learning how to say our name, and then we get on the, you know, we're in the newspaper, and we're, you know, people are starting to celebrate what we're doing. It really sends a really amazing message to our native people and the people, our family back home, and that's a great feeling to know that you're doing that. You know,
that's awesome. What's the most important thing that you want people outside of the Yupa community, you know, in the rest of the America and the world at large, to know about what's happening in Yupik country today? What's the most important, most pressing issues?
Well, a big thing is, within our music, we don't really communicate like political ideas and stuff, but we kind of let our music speak for itself in a way, and our songs are traditional songs, and we're honoring them, and they're about hunting, about our livelihood, living on the land, our relationship and our spiritual relationship with ourselves, consciousness, the world, everything. And so it's getting in touch with, you know, that idea, that frame of mind, that perspective is a real benefit. Connection to nature and how we're a part of it, and how how to encourage that connection with people,
mm-hmm.
that are different than you.
Yeah.
And so that relationship and connection to nature, of course we want to bring honor to our elders and our people who taught us and who have been there living that beautiful spiritual way of life.
Yeah.
And so we want to do that. Yeah, we want to do everything. We want to do what you're doing, Michael.
Right,
for sure, man.
All right. The last question I asked every single person who comes on the show is, in this world that is constantly trying to dehumanize us and attach a number to our name in some way, what is it that you do to hold on to your humanity? How do you stay human?
I close my eyes and dance and move, and I think because it, like, it brings so much joy to that. That, you know, one thing I like to say is that a lot of our traditions, they're to honor the youngest people in the village or in the community,
yeah,
and the oldest people. And it's to give them as much pleasure and comfort as possible. And we create these devices of communication, of celebration, and to be able to honor them and to bring that kind of happiness to our community. And so that's cool, you know. And that's why, you know, with our music, it's like kind of kid-friendly and old people like it. Where we don't really vibe with a lot of younger 20-somethings, but that's cool.
All right, well, thank you so much for being here on the show today. That's Philip Blanchett for Bamua here at the California World Fest. We're super grateful to have you. And remember to stay human! Stay human.
Hey everybody, this is Michael Franti here on the Stay Human podcast, and I've traveled all throughout the world and I've been to many inspiring places, and one of my favorites is Bali. I fell in love with its people and nature the first time that I came here in 2007, and at that time I had a dream to build a place that was dedicated to music, soul, and wellness. And from that, the Soulshine Bali Hotel was born. It's my boutique hotel located in the heart of Bali, surrounded by beautiful rice fields and the most incredible sunsets that you might ever experience. We do over 50 retreats a year, or you can just come here and spend a night on your own. So follow us on Instagram at SoulshineBali.